National Radio Club. Mighty Xers, welcome to Market Scope, a slice of iron oxide audio tape featuring bits and pieces of radio air checks. For this month, we're going to look at a few of Cincinnati's commercial FM stations to see what they were doing over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
All breast meat, no stuffing. Pilgrims of Classic Rock Weekend. Classic Rock. 92.5 FM, The Fox. WOFX FM, Cincinnati.
Pilgrims of Classic Rock Weekend here at 92.5 FM, The Fox. And, of course, Eric Clapton. He is a pilgrim for several reasons. He played with the Yardbirds, played with Cream. A list really been so long, you can't really recount it all right here. Keep it on the Fox for details on how you can grab a classic rock stocking filled with stuff from our classic rock stash. You can win his and hers Wilson leather jackets or a $1,000 shopping spree at Buddy Rogers Music. Just keep listening, because we're the Tri-State's home for the holidays of classic rock, The Fox.
Mix 94.1. Mix 94.1. The holiday mix continues in 2 minutes or less. Now, traffic.
Good afternoon. Got an accident. Madison Pike at 275. Everything else is in pretty good shape. No interstate delays up 75 through St. Bernard or Sharonville. I'm Eric Layton with Argosy Casino Traffic on Mix 94.1.
Mix 94.1.
Taking it to the streets.
And this evening we are at Rookwood Commons. The ultimate sleigh giveaway is just getting ready to get underway as people get checked in to win that 2006 Northland Volkswagen Passat filled with gifts with the retailers at Rookwood. And let me tell you, lots of retailers here. If you need to knock out some holiday shopping, I certainly suggest you check out some of the fine retailers that you'll find here at Rookwood Commons. The ultimate sleigh giveaway getting underway here at Rookwood Commons. It's Bobby D with Mike Stevens with Mix 94.1.
Now more holiday music on your holiday music station, Mix 94.1.
Gemini's Mojo 94.9. There's Aretha. It's 9:20, and today, as you head out, because you know you are, you're going to spend some money, we want you to head over to Northgate Mall. Tori Turner going to be doing her show live out there. She's got some great prizes for you, all between 10 and 3. At the Northgate Mall, you can even register to win a $100 gas card. And you know you're going to burn some gas running from store to store. Of course, you can get a lot of shopping done at Northgate today. So go see Tori doing her show live from 10 to 3 at Northgate Mall with Mojo 94.9.
Here's where Mojo to Go is going next.
On Friday, November 25th, join Mojo for the biggest shopping day of the year at Northgate Mall. Tori Turner will be there broadcasting live at 10 a.m. Stop by and register to win a $100 gas card. Then on Friday, November 25th, bring your family to the beach water park for Christmas festivities. Tori Turner will be there at 5:30 p.m. with Mojo holiday presents for the first 100 people.
And for more Mojo to Go details, just log on to
mojo949.com. It's Mojo to Go.
Mojo to Go on Cincinnati's Jim and Oldies. Mojo 94.9.
More turkey, dear?
It's 9:26. We're at 20 degrees in your Mojo 94.9 Tri-State weather. From the forecasters at 9 News and meteorologist Larry Hanley, it's Skyline gift card time.
Get your Mojo working. Mojo 94.9.
Mojo on your radio means more music. More fun. And Mojo in the Morning with Laura Powell and Keith Mitchell.
Cincinnati's Jammin' Oldies. Mojo. 94.9.
Jammin' the most music.
Every hour.
On the job.
Get your Mojo working.
Every day.
Mojo 94.9.
Here comes another long set of Jammin' Oldies.
Mojo949.com. WMOJ, Fairfield, Cincinnati.
That's right.
Mojo 94.9.
It's a Mojo Thanksgiving holiday.
They want you to get all fattened up for Thanksgiving, so they give you all of this food, and you eat until you're nice and fat.
Enjoy your holiday weekend from Cincinnati's Jammin' Oldies, Mojo 94.9. It's a close encounter of the Mojo kind with the Class Reunion Weekend, taking you back to 1977.
Why did the aliens want to take Richard Dreyfuss back into space? What exactly is a Wookiee? And were Laverne and Shirley more than just friends?
Mojo 94.9 celebrates the year of Car Wash, Sir Duke, and Brick House.
26, 24.
1977,
Raj, Dwayne, and Rerun will be there.
What's happening with you this weekend?
Set your hyperdrive for 94.9, and may the mojo be with you. And remember,
I worked on my hair a long time, and you hit it.
It's 1977 all over again with the Mojo Class Reunion Weekend on Cincinnati's Jammin' Oldies Mojo 94.9.
Cincinnati's Jammin' Oldies Mojo 94.9 with Marvin Gaye.
Hey, people are talking about Max. Let's eavesdrop.
Hi, this is Dawn. I live in Cynthiana, Kentucky, which is probably 60 to 70 miles south of Cincinnati. I get your all's radio station, 99.5. Just happened to get onto it one day. Absolutely love the station. I have it in my car. I have it on at work. My boss loves the station. It is so good. And I thank you all for playing great music. Thanks, Max.
Sound off and support Max at 866-995-9265. That's 866-995-9265.
But I have a blue Christmas.
Think of Max as radio's Google. You can find everything. In fact, Max searches all the time, so you'll hear everything.
97.7 and 99.5. Max FM.
Ole, 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 ole.
Repetition is fine when training dogs. Not so good for radio stations. Max bets you can't guess what's next. 97.7 and 99.5. Max FM.
WOXY, Oxford, Dayton, Cincinnati. WAXC, Georgetown. WAOL, Ripley, Cincinnati.
Cloning? Max doesn't think it's a good idea for sheep or radio. And since too many stations sounded the same, Max decided you'll hear everything from the 60s through today. By the way, good luck cloning Max's CD collection. 97.7 and 99.5 Max FM.
Rudolph has a red nose. But not because he's been drinking.
He's got a shiny nose.
This is Santa Claus on Warm 98 reminding you, please don't drink and drive. Have a safe and happy holiday season.
Now how can you overlook that?
Merry Christmas from WRRM Cincinnati. Warm 98. Ho, ho, ho.
It's like hanging tinsel on your radio. It's a warm family Christmas on Warm 98, featuring the greatest holiday hits in history from now through Christmas Day.
Happy holidays from Warm 98.
Warm 98, Cincinnati's family Christmas. Jeff Golub, here comes Santa Claus. Hi, it's Bobby broadcasting live from Northgate Mall. Yeah, we're out shopping today. Listen for Santa's jet-propelled sleigh within the hour, and you can reach into Santa's grab bag. This is Kenny G at Warm 98. Cincinnati's Christmas favorites, Warm 98, your Rhythmix and Winter Wonderland. Happy holidays to you. We've got all your Christmas favorites from now up through Christmas Day. And we're broadcasting live from Northgate Mall. This is where the action is. People are out doing their shopping. The biggest shopping day of the season. Are you guys tired yet? They're still hanging in there. If you want to come and join us, we'll be broadcasting till 7. Of course, though, open till late tonight. And as you come by, we're set up right beside Santa, who's working very hard over there in his workshop. And you can register while we're here till 7 for a Visa gift card, tickets to the PNC Bank Festival of Lights at the Zoo, plus the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe book on CD. And yes, we'll be firing us. Not firing. That's a bad word for Santa Claus. We'll be playing Santa's jet-propelled sleigh sometime in the hour for you to grab into Santa's grab bag and find something nice for under your Christmas tree. It's sometime before 4 o'clock. Your forecast looking good out there. Coming up next on Warm 98.
Warm 98.
Continued sunny and dry today. Temperatures right around freezing. And we're not going to drop much, too, for a low tonight. 29. It stays clear. But near 50 tomorrow, mostly cloudy, warmer. And then we're looking at some rain for Sunday, and temperatures get even milder yet. 60, what a difference from last night, the teens, huh? It's sunny. It's 31 right now at Warm 98.
Warm 98.
Warm 98.
I'll be back with part two of Cincinnati's FMs next month. Remember, if you'd like to send me a Market Scope contribution, my address is 313 West Spring Street, Upper Sandusky, Ohio 43351 1652. I'm Phil Wayne, and now Fred is back, and he's talking radio.
On this edition of We're Talking Radio, we're talking with Dr. Kenneth Hill, who has added his name to the nomination list of those seeking an appointment to the Federal Communications Commission. In my opinion, Dr. Hill would not only be a blessing to those of us that work in radio, but also a voice of reason in the turmoil of the broadcasting business. Unlike most appointees who are lawyers, Dr. Hill comes from a background in broadcasting, in programming and engineering. From 1981 to present, he has served as the Chief Executive Officer and General Manager of the Appalachian Educational Communication Corporation. And from 1979 to 1982, he was the Chief Technical and Publications Writer for the Magnavox Government and Industrial Electronics Division. In addition to his broadcast duties, Dr. Hill has spent time in the pulpit as a minister of several churches and has worked with various civic groups. It's my honor to introduce Dr. Kenneth Hill. Dr. Hill, let's first understand a little bit about your background. Where did you come from? How did you get into radio?
Well, I'm a native of Kingsport, Tennessee, and next door to Kingsport on the Virginia line is a little town called Gate City, Virginia. And in Gate City, Virginia, I began working there in 1969 as a disc jockey while I was a junior in high school, and continued working there for a couple of years, and then went on to college and working in other stations, and that was basically how I got started. I used to think that disc jockeys were the absolute best that you could ever be, and that was my job description, and I really enjoyed that. And then over time, of course, you know, your horizons sort of widen, and you start doing other things.
How did you get into the management or the general managership of the place you're working at right now?
Well, I went on to graduate school after I'd finished my undergraduate degree and began teaching broadcasting in addition to actually being a practitioner in broadcasting. And from that, I was called into management through a couple of events dealing with university stations and working in the non-profit, non-com sector. And that's basically how I wound up here. This group was founded in 1981, and I've been with them from the founding. And we have one educational FM station here, and we have five commercial AM stations in various small town locations, and we have a wonderful time doing that. But that's how I got there, actually working in the university system.
And what group is this?
The group name is Appalachian Educational Communication Corporation, and AECC has WHCB 91.5 FM here in Bristol, Tennessee. We have WJFC 1480 AM in Jefferson City. That's 500 watts day, 34 watts night. We have WHGG 1090 AM. It's 1.8 kilowatts critical hours, 10 kilowatts full-time, or excuse me, daytime. And we also have critical hours of, post-sunset, pre-sunrise, of anywhere between 19 watts and 30 watts on 1090.
Mm-hmm.
We also have WPWT, which is a straight-up 10 kilowatt daytimer, because we're protecting the New Orleans Clear Channel. And then we also have WABN in Abingdon, Virginia. WABN's 1230 AM kilowatt full-time. And there's 1330 AM WOLD AM in Marion, Virginia, which is a 5 kilowatt daytimer, 30 watts night.
So you would consider your forte to be more or less in the management, or is it also in engineering and programming?
Well, I've done a little bit of everything, but I certainly wouldn't call myself an engineer. I might be one of those technicians that calls up the engineer and says, you know, this is the kind of problem we're having.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to tweak it or make it better? And I've done a lot of programming over the years, but that's not my specialty these days. When you're in a small market kind of situation, you wind up doing a lot of things, but primarily management, I would think.
Now, you've expressed a desire to be on the FCC's line of commissioners, and it begs to ask the question, why?
Well, I appreciate the question. I believe that we've had a drought in regulation toward broadcasting, or at least intelligent regulation toward broadcasting. Certainly I'm not casting aspersions, but I believe that there is a real need for someone with a background in broadcasting to be a part of the Federal Communications Commission. Again, I'm not casting stones at all. I'm just saying I think it would be better if we have a broadcaster on the commission. It's been, about 10 years or so since James Quello was on there, and he did a fine job. And you can read all sorts of good things, even to this day, about the work that he accomplished on the commission. And I think it'd be good for broadcasters to have a voice, more or less, at least have someone who understands broadcasting on there, because broadcasting stations pay quite a bit of the cost of running the FCC.
And what is the process of being put on to the nomination for a commission seat?
Well, in my case, we have had our name submitted to the Office of the President by the majority leader in the Senate, Senator Bill Frist of Tennessee, my home state. And we have then asked that folks who are interested in my candidacy or the candidacy of a broadcaster on the commission to contact their local senators and to write to the Office of the President. And so that's the process we've been going through. I'm not a political insider. I'm not a Washington insider. I'm not a bureaucrat that sits on some sort of a committee or works with a committee in Congress. So I'm truly an outside candidate, if you will, and to even have my name put on the desk of the president is indeed an honor.
Well, it certainly is. Any time you can get that far in Washington is something to be said. What do you see as the most important issues to be addressed by the commission these days?
Well, we have, I think there are a number of issues that we're going to see come up. I think the number one issue for broadcasters, especially for radio broadcasters these days, is digital AM, FM radio, or HD radio, as they're calling it. Of course, with HDTV, they've already got a date set up in 2009 that they're going to have to shoot toward. All the stations, all the full-power stations are supposed to be broadcasting in HD right now. There's all sorts of things going on with television. But when it comes to radio, we're looking at some real questions that have to be answered, some interference problems that have to be undertaken, all that sort of thing. Right now, I noticed today in one of the papers I get that the ultimate price, they say, to convert public radio and TV to digital is going to be $1.9 billion. Now, that's only public radio and television.
Right.
When you start talking commercial radio, TV's already had to do that, as you know, but radio then is going to be multiply that out, by several times, and you're going to have a big price tag.
There's something to be said about the conversion to digital, that it might impact some of the ability to retransmit or initiate emergency communications. And I'm kind of curious here if you see that as a problem that needs to be addressed by the commission.
I think it's one of several of the issues. I think that the commission, of course, has set up some task forces to try to see what they can do about EAS and about various other kinds of disaster communication. And that's good. But we're going to have to not only address the EAS system, there is, as you know, on the horizon, a couple of other possibilities that would supplant what we're doing now in the broadcast side. But I think that what we're looking at there is, yeah, we have to address that. I think also we have to address such things as interference. We have to address such things as nighttime broadcasting on AM, which, of course, the leading system, if I can use that term, the one that seems to be preferred by the large groups, cannot broadcast at night with their system. So that's a problem that the commission's going to have to take a look at.
I wonder if the commission is at all concerned that stations which are using this leading system, as you call it, when you look at the service contours of these radio stations, some of which are 50 kilowatts in power, they used to have a service area of as much as 200 miles, but in using the digital signal, It knocks it down to some 45 to 60 miles. Is that going to be something that the commission might have to investigate as far as protection contours then?
Well, I would be in favor of that investigation. I think that part of the problem that perhaps we're facing with this issue of going digital on AM in particular is the idea that an AM station is the same as an FM station. And, it has a certain area in which it can cover, and that's it. Well, the truth is, yes, there is a certain area, but with AM, especially with the mega power stations, you find out that they can cover a huge amount of territory. For example, WWL in New Orleans was a godsend to that community and to those who left that community after Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to hear the broadcasts all over 20-some states or more to know exactly what was going on there in the home area. And that was a big boost to the morale of people who had to be moved. It also was very important for emergency crews and others to know what was going on.
And I have to say, up here in the north, we had a blackout, which started in New York, pretty much blacked out most of the upper states here. We had to tune in radio stations from far away, but in some cases we found that interference was such that it prevented us from listening to those normally good signals to obtain information. And I guess the question I'd have to ask, with the interference levels gradually going up due to digital and also due to some of the protection contours being changed, is the commission at some point going to just back off all interference, or do you think there needs to be more regulation toward protecting existing public service stations?
Well, that's going to be a difficult call, I guess, for the commission. But if you want my personal take on it, I think we have to be very careful not to disturb those stations that are already providing a service, especially in time of disaster. We've got to give them the opportunity to do what they do best, which is to reach the population with immediate information. And that's one of the many concerns that I have about our going to digital broadcasting is the limitation that it's going to place on especially these so-called clear channel stations. And I say so-called because years ago when they said they had a clear channel station, it was a clear channel, you know.
Right.
Now there are many others on there.
Mm-hmm.
But those stations, the granddaddy stations, the big power stations, have an obligation as part of that that power that they have to keep the public informed. And I think the small town stations have that obligation too, but ours is a little smaller because we have a much smaller footprint with our coverage.
But you're serving a need within your community, though.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the other issues that the FCC keeps bringing up, and that's localism. And I think that without, if a broadcast is not, a broadcasting station is not a local station, if it's not oriented locally, if it doesn't serve the public and the community locally, it's a failure as a broadcast station.
Well, that brings...
We are broadcasters, and I will include myself in that term. We broadcasters have an obligation to serve the local community. And if we don't serve the local community, we're not doing our job.
Well, that brings up a question here concerning some events which have happened recently. And if you remember back in the old days, and I hate to date us both, but you used to have a public file and you used to have to operate in the public interest as a public trustee. And they backed off the public file and backed off the news commitment. And now there is a suggestion that we completely do away with the public file. Do you think that's a good idea?
I really don't see that happening if cool heads prevail, because that is a very important part of the pipeline of information for someone that wants to come in and understand what's going on at the station and how the commitment to the public's being made. With the emphasis on localism, they're also putting an emphasis on making that public inspection file so public that it's on the Internet as opposed to being in a filing cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
That is good, and yet I think there needs to be a filing cabinet as well.
One question concerning this localism. In hypothetical situation here, there's a senior community in Florida, which is about 15 miles from a major urban area. And it's a discrete little area measuring about 5 miles by 2 miles and has a serious internal communication need that no other commercial station or educational station is serving. The minimum age is 55 years. And that really falls outside the interests of most commercial broadcasters. Now, this community would be an ideal candidate for a LPFM or LPAM station. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on some of these little small fleet power radio stations being put into some of these communities to serve in the, as they would say, public interest.
Well, I think it's actually a good idea. And depending on interference considerations, that sort of thing, I think that that kind of broadcasting is indeed local and community-centered. I would further say that there may be some possibilities, even if the FCC were not granting the license, in which you might be able to use a carrier current style system, or there's some other cable systems and various other things that could radiate that might be of benefit. Now, I'm not technically inclined, you are, but I've used a few of those things in the past on university and college campuses that have been helpful. I think that in the LPFM world, which we have now, of course, LPAM has been proposed. My only concern there, I guess, would be that interference standards be held to so that the full-service broadcasters are not hampered in any way. And I know we're talking a very low wattage. And then secondly, I think that the people operating those low-power stations should operate them very much in the public interest, and if they don't deserve to have the license.
And on our next edition, we'll be talking radio with Dr. Kenneth Hill again and conclude our interview, and he'll tell us a little bit about some things that DXers are going to find interesting, as well as a lot of radio listeners. But right now, I'd like to tell you about the 19th Annual Winter SWL Fest, sponsored by NASWA. That's March the 3rd and the 4th, 2006, at the Best Western, formerly known as the Holiday Inn, on Sumneytown Pike in Culpsville, Pennsylvania. If that name sounds familiar, that's where we just held the National Radio Club Convention. Plan to attend your favorite forums on Friday and Saturday. Enjoy meeting with your friends at the hospitality room. Just bring some radio-related items for the swap meet or to donate to the silent auction. Check out your friends' receivers or just bring one of your own. No frills, just shortwave, longwave, mediumwave, pirates, and scanning. Once again, you'll enjoy the camaraderie of your hobby friends. By the way, the items that are for the silent auction, those proceeds go to a charity. Register directly with the hotel for your rooms by calling the Best Western at area code 215-368-3800. And they have one special rate, and that is $75 single or double. Be sure to tell the hotel staff that you're with the Winter SWL Fest to get this special rate. Also, the Best Western is located off exit 31 of the Pennsylvania Turnpike Northeast Extension Lansdale Interchange. Improved access from the south with the Blue Route. That's I-476. Ask for details. Limo service is available from Philadelphia International Airport direct to the hotel. Again, that's the same hotel where we just had the 2005 National Radio Club Convention. Contact the Winter SWL Fest at Post Office Box 4153, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. A rather disturbing article appeared in the CGC Communicator that I thought I'd pass on. A lot of us, myself included, like to burn a lot of CDs. In fact, I just finished up a major project of putting all my vinyl records onto CD. And after reading this, I'm just about ready to cry. The article is titled, Lifespan of CDRs and CDRW Said to be Around 2 to 5 Years. For anyone who's spent an inordinate amount of time burning CD music or photo CDs and saving the data, here's a disturbing story from IDG News Service via MIT's Technology Review magazine. Those CDRs and CDRWs that were supposed to last a lifetime may only accomplish that task if you're about to kick the bucket. Unlike pressed original CDs, burnt CDs have a relative short lifespan of between 2 to 5 years, depending on the quality of the CD. This according to Kurt Garrick, a physicist and storage expert at IBM Deutschland. However, some of the blogs associated with the article suggest that the actual lifespan is highly variable. Data loss or corruption is also known as bit rot in some circles. And with that, let's turn it over to you, the Musings from the Members.
This is the Musings from the Members. To muse, call 360-469-0189.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, we lost Alan Waters a couple of weeks ago at 84. He was the one that turned 1050 Chum in Toronto from a little daytime station, I think about 1,000 watts, and they were the first top 40 radio station in Canada, such as it was, and became very successful in 1957. A couple of great catches, I think, lately. 1330, WHBL, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I've been getting that sometimes about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Also on 1440, I've had WCDL, a good country music station, in Carbondale, Pennsylvania. I wish great DXing for all of our fellow club members, and I'm looking forward to visiting again with all of you in Akron, Ohio next Labor Day weekend.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. Paul Burkhart, that was an excellent band scan from Cape Cod. I liked it because it was short and to the point, and I hope other people, when they submit band scans, will follow his example. We have a major shakeup here in Washington, D.C. Starting on January 4th at 12 o'clock, WTOP is moving to 103.5. They will now be the all-news station. WGMS, the classical music station, has been moved to two frequencies, 104.1 in the D.C. area, 103.9 in the Frederick area. 1500 and 107.7 will eventually drop the simulcasting of WTOP and will become, I guess, the Washington Post radio newspaper, something like that. So if you can't read the Washington Post, you can hear it on 1500 and 107.7. And Mark Salone is continuing the music format on WABC Radio from 6 to 10 Saturday nights. I wonder if this will happen in other cities where stations will decide to go back to the oldies format. And I do have a little transistor radio, and it really brought back memories hearing these oldies on a tiny transistor radio.
Jerry Peterson calling from California in the San Diego area, and I just want to say what great issues we've had the last couple of months in the DX audio service. December and January, excellent. The fascinating band scan across the daytime AMs in Cape Cod, that was really, really a good tape. Also, Mark Durenberger back in the desert in Utah, that's a good thing. And the interview, Fred, that you did with Jim from WTTO and CKLW, just incredibly entertaining. Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work.
Hello, Fred and DX Audio Service subscribers. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts. I want to let you know that something has happened. For those of you who are radio enthusiasts, I know that you'll never want this to happen to you. We were bombarded with static on a regular basis all over the AM broadcast band, day to day. We finally were able to get it fixed thanks to the efforts of our assistant director of housing and an electrician. They took the radio, my transistor radio, around and checked throughout the whole building. They found a defective mercury vapor light fixture that made it possible for the parking lot to be lightened up. They've fixed the problem, much to our joy. So any of you ever have a problem with static on an ongoing basis, keep that in mind, and you might want to have the electrician check to see if there is a defective light fixture next door to where you live. Happy DXing to you all.
Hi, Happy New Year, Fred, from DX Land and DX Audio Service. This is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. I tell you, I really enjoyed the interview you had with Jim K. Davis very, very much, especially when he was talking about old CKOW and WLS and all the great radio stations. Well, we have a few things happening. Number one, WAXY, the ticket, 790, WLYF, 101.5, and Magic 102.7 are being sold. WVCG, 1080, is dropping brokered programming, or at least most of it, and they're going to be a Afro-American talk radio station. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'll keep you posted on that. That's the news for now, and thanks a lot for such a great magazine. Looking forward to going to Ohio.
This is Tim Hendel here in Huntsville. 1200 in Nashville has been for quite a while WKDA running Spanish, while 1160 WAMB has been running Big Band. Early in January, I discovered the Big Band format being simulcast on those two frequencies, and I thought that was going to be permanent. But as of January 14th, 1160 is running a loop tape saying that they will soon be a Christian format station in Nashville, and they say they'll be running 50,000 watts. This new format will be inaugurated on January 20th.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number is 360-469-0189. 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service members only. We haven't had a chance to do a lot of CPC tests, basically because they've been scheduled just after we went to publication, so we couldn't give you the details on the test, but we do have one here that's coming up in the month of February. It's from WJTO 730 in Bath, Maine. They'll have a DX test on February the 12th. That's late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, from midnight to 0100. Modes of operation, 1 kilowatt non-directional, Morse code IDs, sweep tones, and voice IDs. Test will consist of 20-minute CD audio prepared by the broadcast test coordinator. CD contains Morse code IDs, phonetic code IDs, and various sweep tones. Reception reports are desired via email, that's the first choice, or snail mail if you don't have it, and they should be submitted to JIBGUI at AOL.com and put WJTO DX test in the subject line, or the standard mail should go to WJTO Radio 730, Post Office Box 308, Bath, Maine 04530. And special thanks to Bob Bittner for this test. And with that, let's turn it over to Ken Onischuk, and he's going to rate us, or at least give us the ratings.
And Happy New Year, DXers. And this month I have got radio station ratings, both in Clear Channel cities and where some of you live. And let's see how this works out. In New York City, number one is WLTW-FM at 6.5. Number two, WRKS at 4.5. Number one AM and sixth is Winds News Radio at 4.1. And 8th is Talk Radio, WABC at 3.7. And 13th was WCBS at 2.9. In the Long Island area, number 1 was Pop Oldies, WLNG-FM at 9.6. And number 1 AM was WFAN 660 at 3.9. Out in the West Coast in Los Angeles, number 1 current hit is KISS FM, KISS-KVVS-FM at 4.6. Number 1 AM and 3rd is 640 KFI Talk Radio at 4.2. And down to 16th is Talk Radio 79 KBC at 2.4. Down in San Diego, number 1 AM 600 KOGO 5.3. And in 6th is 760 KFMB at 3.7. In Chicago area where I live, number 1, Black Adult, WGCI-FM at 5.4. Number 2, News Radio 78, WBBM 5.1. In 3rd, News Talk 72, WGN 4.9. And in 6th, Talk Radio 89, WLS at 3.8. In Philadelphia, where last year's convention was held near, number 1, Pop Adult, WEAZ-FM 6.5. Number two, News Radio KYW 6.2. And in ninth, The Big Talker 1210 WPHT 3.6. Going southwest to Phoenix. Number one, Pop Oldies Cool FM at 5.7. Number two, News Talk 55 KFYI at 5.5. And in sixth place, News Talk 62 KTAR 3.9. In the West Coast Bay Area, number one, KGO 6.4. Two, Pop Music KOIT AM and FM 4.5. And in fourth, News Talk 74 KCBS 3.6. Out east to Detroit, number one. Regardless of losing sports, it's still number one. WJR at 5.7. WWJ News 95 has dropped eighth at 4.2. Back up northwest to Seattle. In fourth, News Talk Cairo 710, 4.6. In tenth, News Talk 1000, Como 3.4. To our nation's capital in the D.C., number one, Black Adult WMMJ FM 6.4. And in fourth, News Talk 15, WTOP at 6. Out in here in the Midwest, Indianapolis, number one, Country WFMS FM 9.8. And in fourth, News Talk 1070 WIBC at 6.3. Over in Mark Durenberger's home, Minneapolis, St. Paul, number one, 830 WCCO at 9.2. And down to seventh, 1500 KSTP at 4.2. Dallas, Fort Worth, recent convention a couple of years ago, number one, Black Adult KKDA FM 5.9. Fifth, News Talk 82 WBAP 4.4. And 7th, Pop Oldies, Popular K-Love at 4. And 19th, KRLD at 2.1. Tampa St. Pete area, John Bowker is. Number 1, Pop Adult, WDUV FM 9.6. And 3rd, News Talk 97, WFLA at 5.8. In Milwaukee area, number 1, WTMJ 620 at 10.7. Miami area, we have two DXers down there. Number one, Spanish, WCMQ FM, 6.2. Number six, News Talk 610, WIOD, 3.9. In the Atlanta area, number one is News Talk 75, WSB, 9.7. And two is Black Adult, WVEE, at 8.9. In Huntsville, where Tim Hendel is, number one country, WDRM FM, 15.6. And down the ninth place is News Talk 77 WVNN at 3.5. In Columbia, South Carolina, I believe we have one out there too. Number one, Current Hit WNOK FM 6.5. And in seventh, WVOC AM 5.2. In Charlotte, number one is News Talk 1110 WBT at 6.0. In Pittsburgh, Classic Rock, number one, WDVE 10.2, and in second, KDKA at 9.2. In Cincinnati, WLW is atop at 9.4. In Louisville, WAMZ Country is number one, and in second, it's WHAS at 10.8. In Des Moines, we have a DXer out there, WHO is on top at 10%. In Omaha, Ernie Wesolowski, territory. Number one, News Talk 1110, KFAB at 10, and number two, Pop Oldies, KGOR at 6.8. In Denver, number one is News Talk 850, KOA at 6.4. In Salt Lake City, News Talk 1160, KSL, which I can't even hear anymore, is 9.0. Next, Albuquerque, number one is 77 KOB at 10.7. Down in San Antonio, number two is Pop Oldies 86 KONO at 6.7. And in fourth, News Talk 12 WOAI at 5.6. In Las Vegas, sorry folks, that's strictly an FM city. Gotta go down to sixth with 840 KXNT at 4.8. In Austin, we have Dale Hammond friends down there. Country KVET FM at 6.6, and number 5, News Talk 59 KLBJ at 5.3. Dallas is another, Nashville is another big FM city. Down in 12th is News Talk 1510, WLAC at 3.5, and Clear Channel 650, WSM 14th at 3.5. Raleigh is next. In 4th, News Talk 68, WPTF at 6.3. And finishing is 2nd, 1080, WTIC Hartford at 10.3. Any comments, give me a call, 815-774-0184. Hope I covered everybody and everything. Till next time, good DX. So long, friends.
Thanks, Ken. And finally, on this edition of the DX Audio Service, our thoughts and prayers go out to legendary radio talk show host Art Bell, ham call sign W6OBB, on the sudden death of his wife on Thursday evening, January 5th. Mrs. Bell, better known to many of us as Ramona, passed away as she was stricken with a severe asthma attack while the couple was vacationing in Laughlin, Nevada. According to a posting on the Coast to Coast AM website, Art and Ramona have not been apart since they were married 15 years ago. Mrs. Bell had suffered from asthma for years and took her normal steps to control the attack. Ramona was 47 years old. Those of you that wish to send condolences can send your cards or letters to Art Bell, W6OBB, care of Premier Radio Networks, 15620 Ventura Boulevard, 5th floor, Sherman Oaks, California, 91403.